Isaiah 40 through 55. And then we see this context at the beginning of Isaiah. In fact, from chapters 1 until 39. And he's focusing primarily on Judah, Jerusalem, during the 8th century. He was speaking into their now. He was speaking before Christ. He wasn't always speaking prophetically. In fact, the Assyrian army was coming and threatening this Jerusalem. And so he is speaking to them, get right, follow the Lord. The Lord even shows up in Isaiah chapter 6 with a profound moment where Isaiah says, woe is me and I am undone, for you are holy. And so all those things happen. And then from chapter 1 until chapter 40, he begins to declare into the now. However, in Isaiah, specifically, when it starts in chapter 24, he's speaking to the now, to them, right then, Isaiah, Assyrians, 800 years before Jesus, but he is also speaking into the time that is coming. In fact, scholars will call this the Isaiah Apocalypse. Right? Like Ezekiel talks about the end times, Revelations talks about the end times, so does Isaiah. Isaiah can be trusted because everything he said about Jesus came true. Isaiah 40 until 55, all came true, all came true. Jesus filled every part of the prophecy. So I can't just say, I don't like Isaiah 24, I don't like Isaiah 25 and 26, so therefore I'm not going to listen to it. You have to listen to the word of God this morning, because it is verified that Isaiah is a true prophet because the rest of his prophecies come through. So in Isaiah 24, he starts what's called an Isaiah apocalypse. Like the end times are coming, and it gets crazy. I was reading through this in my Bible recap plan this week. I was listening to the word of God, and I started to feel anxiety, like a little anxious. Like, oh my goodness, there is a time coming, and it's going to be bad. In fact, in 24, verse 1, he starts out like this. He says, behold, the Lord will empty the earth and make it desolate. And scholars say that's void. Like the void that God talks about in Genesis. Remember, the earth was formed and without any kind of stuff. Like Isaiah says, there's getting ready to be a time where that's going to happen again. That makes me nervous. That makes me a little bit fear of anxiety. What if that's my time? What if that's like 2 weeks from now? What's happening in the world? God, what's happening in the time that you were coming back, and all the things shifting together? And there can be some anxious moments in Isaiah 24. There can be some anxious moments in Isaiah 25. But right in the middle of this prophetic apocalypse, God says, Isaiah 26, look at it in verse 1. It says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. That's interesting. A song's going to be sung in the land of Judah in the midst of crazy, terrible times. What does he say? We have a strong city. He sets up salvation, Jesus, as walls and bulwarks. I think of just sort of setting that up. And here's the line and the precepts upon precepts. Here's the salvation. Here is the city that Jesus is setting up for us in the midst of crazy chaos. There is going to be a time where we can have no more fear and no more anxiety. Look at verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. And this morning, we'll be sort of hovering over verses 3 and 4. It says, in the middle of that chaos, in the middle of apocalypse, in the middle of the end times, in the middle of even that prophecy into their time, where the Assyrian army is coming in and capturing people and things are happening, here's what God says in verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And I want to read all the way to 8 because it's so good. It says, for he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low, low to the ground. He casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. In verse 7, it says, the path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord. So there is a people in the middle of this judgment, in the middle of a time that will be full of chaos. There will be a people who are waiting on the Lord their God. And here's what their passion and their purpose will be. Your name and your remembrance are the desire of our souls. Can I say that again in verse 8? It says, in the path of your judgments, Lord, we wait for you, and your name and your remembrance are the desires of our soul. So this morning, how do you keep in perfect peace when all of this chaos, your personal chaos, your family chaos, the things that are going on in your life and the lives of those that you love, in a broader sense in the life of our community, in a broader sense in the life of our nation, in a broader sense in the life of the world, how do you, as a believer, get rid of anxiety and live in perfect peace? I think when you look at verses 3 and 4, first of all, memorize them. Just memorize them. I have these scriptures memorized because I need to have this as the foundational truth of my life. So I just run them over and over in my head. If you can memorize a doo-wop song from the 50s and some crazy song from the 90s about waterfalls, you know what I'm talking about, 90s kids. And so if you can memorize those songs, surely you can remember the Word of God. That stands forever. And we're going to work backwards this morning. So we're going to actually look at verse 4. And then we're going to come backwards into verse 3. Because I think as you look at these two verses, you have to look at it from the back end of the story. Look at verse 4 this morning. It says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is what? And I need you to say it one more. For the Lord God is what? So number one, we're going to trust in God. Now that sounds super simple. Like, okay, Tara, I have anxiety. I struggle. It's at this level. It's at this level. Whatever your anxiety level is, you're just telling me to trust in the Lord. Well, yes, I'm telling you to trust in the Lord. And then God defines the character of who he is because he is an everlasting. Now you all are from South Louisiana. I mean, I'm from South Louisiana. Most of us are from South Louisiana. We don't have rocks. We have mud. Mud shifts. It goes all over the place. God is not mud. He is not. In fact, yesterday we got a chance to get away because our kids are at camp. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we were floating down a river and they had pebbles. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Little pebbles. It was beautiful. It was orange sand. I love orange sand. Like, you know, like hills, you know, it was like 2 hours away. So it was pebbles. God is not a pebble. Pebbles move. We got into the water. The pebbles move. The sand move. God is not sand. He is not. He doesn't describe himself as a pebble. He describes himself as an everlasting rock. That's the picture that Isaiah gives, that we can trust in God because his character does not change. Now, a rock to Israelites, the people of Judah, they would have known that because they were around mountains. They were around rocks. And we're not talking about shifting rocks or pebble rocks. They were around rocks that did not change. A rock symbolizes eternal strength. A rock symbolizes protective refuge. We don't understand that in our South Louisiana brains. We don't even understand that God was saying, not only am I eternal, I do not move, I do not change. He is saying, I can be a protective refuge. What does Elijah do when he's running from Queen Jezebel? He runs into a rock. He runs into, where does David hide when he's fleeing from King Saul? He runs into a rock. And so he knows. They know that the way that I can be protected is if I run myself into a rock. A rock symbolizes reliable foundation. Jesus says to build your house on the rock. Don't build it on the sands because they shift and they change, but build yourself on the rock. So when God symbolizes himself as he's symbolizing himself as strength, he is symbolizing himself as a refuge. He is symbolizing himself as a reliable foundation in your life, not just for Isaiah, not just for a time that is coming, for the right now. In fact, if you think about a rock or a mountain, most of the encounters that we see in the Old Testament and a lot of the New Testament happened on the rock, Noah's Ark. When they landed on a rock, Mount Ararat. When Abraham was giving the sacrifice of the law, he gave that on Mount Moriah. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, it was on a rock. It was Mount Sinai. When Elijah confronts the prophets of Baal, that was on a mount. It was on a rock called Carmel. When it represents Jews, when they were building the temple and the Jerusalem and God's dwelling place, it was built on Mount Zion. When Jesus goes to pray and he prays sweats of blood, and it's so profound, he prays that where? At the rock, at the Mount of Olives. Why? It is a picture of who God is. He this morning is your rock. Circumstances change. Life stories change. Things will happen, but the God who we serve does not change. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Rock likeness is the character of who God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. And when we have fear, which will come, when we have anxiety, which will also come, the first thing that we do, the scripture tells us in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Somebody say, he's my rock. Now look at verse 3. Two things this morning. Trust in the Lord. Seems easy. Let's work backwards from verse 3. It says, you keep him in perfect peace. That sounds good. That's where I want to aim for. I want to be kept in perfect peace. Trials come. All these things are happening. Storms come. Jesus has a storm. He's sleeping on the boat. Disciples are like, no, I don't trust. But what else keeps us in perfect peace? It says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, somebody says mine. So we know who the Lord is. He's an everlasting rock. He doesn't change. The next part is on us. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So number 2 this morning is this: keep your mind on him. So you trust in the Lord, our eternal rock. And then the second part of this, to get us rid of anxiety, when those anxieties, those anxious thoughts come up, and they will. Like, this is not saying we don't have these thoughts. It's like when those thoughts come up, you can repeat scripture. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. So there's my trust. And then the part that I'm playing in this is that my part is to keep my mind on him. So that means you probably have to get away from your cell phone, get away from your TV. I know that there will be moments where we sit and we watch and we consume and we're taken in. But the biggest thing that we have to do is focus our minds on him. We have friends. It's family, and we have one of the young boys in one of our families, his mind's just a little bit off. And his mother, and we agree, like, they actually took pictures of his brain. And you could see, like, a normal brain. I don't know what that looks like. I hope I have one. And so he has a normal brain, and then they have his brain. And it's like all kinds of like triggering things, like red things and blue things. I'm not a brain technologist. I don't know much about brains. Remember, I do music. All I know is I saw the picture of one she showed me, and I saw a picture of two. And I was like, yeah, it looks different. And they're doing these things, like he can't talk for 20 minutes, and then they do something with his brain. And then they, like, he has to do this for 20 minutes, and they do something with it. They're like literally retraining him on how to think so that he can just have some cognitive order to his life. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But I think as believers, we can do the same thing when we wash our minds with the Word of God. When we begin to say, okay, Lord, I trust you, but when that anxious thought comes up, whenever that fear or that worry or that concern comes up, I can transform, or the Bible says, I can renew my mind as I read the Word of God. So we have to do the same things. Philippians 4 through 9, we're going to look at it, it's on the screen. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And so it says in verse 5, let your reasonableness, this is good, this is just really good. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You don't got to be crazy, you don't be over the top, just be reasonable. The Lord is at hand. In verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Can I read that again? It says, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Don't be anxious about anything. God, I'm not there yet. I'm not preaching from I've arrived, but I know a Savior who has. And he's encouraging us this morning. And you could memorize this scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So I'm not to be anxious about anything, but here's what I'm to do in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the what? Peace of God. So we saw the peace in verse 3 in Isaiah. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So our staying of our mind. And then the Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians, and he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in who? In Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on, and he writes a way for us to train our thoughts so that our mind stays on God. He says in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true. So you look at that thought, is it true? You look at the next one, he says, whatever is honorable. You look at that thought, that anxious thought, you say, God, is that honorable? You look at your next thought and say, God, is that just? What is just? You look at the next thought and you say, okay, God, is that thought pure? He says in the next words, he says, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent. So when you come up with the anxious thought or the fear-filled thought, or what if, I can't believe this, we're thinking about tomorrow, we're thinking about a year from now, we're thinking about 20 years from now, and like who my grandkids will be, you know, I have those kind of thoughts, anxious thoughts. And so what we're to do is sort of look at it and say, Lord, shift it. Lord, if it's not pure, if it's not honorable, if it's not lovely, if it's not commendable, if there isn't any excellence in my anxious thoughts, then he says this. He says, get rid of them. Think about the good ones. Replace it. Start putting your mind on him. Keep your mind on him. Is your mind stayed on Christ? Are you reading the Word of God? And I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday. I'm talking about tomorrow morning. Are your thoughts on him when you wake up? When you go to bed at night, are you just glancing at your phone and I find myself guilty? Or are you thinking on the Lord God? God says, trust in the Lord because he's a rock. He's an everlasting rock. But then he's saying, train your mind so that you can stay in perfect peace by keeping your mind on him. Those are the two words this morning. Can we play some music or something like that? Now we're gonna have a time of prayer. I believe that God can instantaneously take away anxious thoughts. I've seen that. I've seen it physically in other ways, like my husband, when he gave his life to the Lord, he smoked like a bunch of packs of cigarette a day, I don't know. And the Lord just instantaneously freed him from smoking. Like just crazy. I wasn't around then, but it's true. And the Lord will do that instantaneously, right? And then other people we know, like smoking is like this process, and you have to like sort of get rid of it. I get that. And I think too with anxious thoughts that the Lord can just immediately, he can just transform our minds. Nothing is impossible for him. He's a miracle worker. He's a way maker. And if you struggle with anxiety this morning, we've already prayed over every chair this morning. Our prayer team did. And we prayed and we asked that the Lord will just deliver you from anxious thoughts. But I think also that this has to be the pattern of our life. I love instantaneous prayers answering. I do. but there have been a walk with the Lord. When COVID hit, and my mind, for the first time in a very long time, got to a very dark place because of COVID and the things that were happening, and I wasn't actively involved at church and all, just a lot of things personally. The Lord said to me, he said, you need to have a steadfast devotion to the Word of God. And I read the Word, but he said, from totally, from front to back, like from Genesis to Revelation. And so since 2020, I have just been steadfast in the Word. I read the Word. I'm asking the Lord, what do you want to speak to me? I don't know everything. That's why I've got the Bible recap plan. And I listen to what they're saying. I've listened for years now, steadily having the Word of God consume me so that when an anxious thought comes up, I can counterattack it with the Word of God. It's my weapon. That's your weapon this morning. You have a weapon that is the Word of God. And so this morning, we want to pray for you and say, okay, Lord, let's start that process. But then also, you're going to have to go home and do the work, right? You're going to have to go home and trust in the Lord, who is an everlasting rock. And you might have to memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You might have to memorize Isaiah and look at verses 3 and 4 and say, I'm putting that to memory. I'm going to print that out and put it on my refrigerator. I'm going to put that on my odometer of my car. You know, like wherever it is that you look the most, and that's going to be me. I'm getting serious because I want to attack these anxious thoughts that come up on the inside of me. We don't have to be plagued by anxiety. We serve a God who wins. We know the end of the story. We don't know how we get there, and there are some clues and there are some prophecies, but I know at the end in Revelations in 22, it says we're all getting together and it's going to be good, and the food's going to be good, and there's going to be no weeping and no crying and no anxiety and no fear and no bitterness and no roots of anything that we're going to talk about all summer long, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will all worship around the throne room of God forever, and then we'll just have these amazing adventure assignments. And I'm living in the mountains, y'all, so do what you want to do, but I already know the Lord has a home in the mountains for me. But until we get there, this morning, we want to bind those anxious thoughts, and we want to loose the peace of God over you. So we could just turn down the lights, maybe just a little. And that's you this morning, and you struggle, like anxiety is like real for you. And you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you. Would you just boldly, we're not going to ask you to do anything crazy. All the anxious be like, I can't believe, just stand. We're just going to stand together, and then we're just going to believe God that he will deliver you from anxiety. So if it's you in the house this morning, no one looking around, please just honor them and respect them. But you're saying, Lord, that's me. I have anxiety. I struggle with thoughts, and they're consuming, and they take me to places that are rough. We're going to believe right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God will do a work in your mind. But then I'm going to encourage you to walk out of the door and do the work. Start memorizing the Word of God. Start listening to worship songs. Get rid of, if you listen to anxious music, I'm going to say this. If you're listening to music that doesn't honor the Lord, you need to get rid of it. I don't care. Oh, that's my favorite artist. That's who I grew up listening to. If that music does not honor the Lord, you are allowing that into your soul. It's becoming a part of who you are. And I'm saying that those people that don't honor the Lord with their songs, they are not for you. They are against you. And you need to do the work. You need to do the dirty work. One time I had a friend, he gave his life to the Lord. We were in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, and he had CDs, because that's what we listened to. We went on top of the bridge by Prospect, the Twins. No, there wasn't Twin Spans yet, the other bridge by Prospect. We went in the top, we stopped our car, and he threw all of his CDs into the bayou. He was serious. I don't know if we were legal, but it was serious. And he just said, I just can't have that in my soul, right? This morning, as we pray, I'm just going to believe God, and we're going to speak over your life. So Would you lift your hands if that's you, just as you're standing up? And I'm just going to believe God, and then we're going to ask the Lord to help us to break that bond. But then also we're going to go out the doors and do the work. Lord Jesus, God, you see the hands raised in the room this morning of people. God, your kids who are called by your name. God, their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life because they trust in you. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that they would trust in the Lord with all their heart. God, I pray that they would lean not on their own understanding in all their ways. God, that they would acknowledge you and you would direct their steps. God, I pray right now that you would break the chain of anxiety over their individual lives. God, every person in this room that is standing within the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that you would break that chain by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that anxious thoughts would be gone, anxious ways would be gone. God, for those that are even struggling to another level and it is affecting them physically, God, I pray by the power of the name of Jesus, God, that those chains would be broken. God, we loose the peace of God over their life. God, we loose the power of the Holy Spirit over their individual lives this morning. And God, that you will do a work. God, we thank you that you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. God, I pray that the mind, they would have the mind of Christ. God, I pray like Philippians, Lord, that everything that they would think on would be pure and holy. God, that it would be acceptable. And when those thoughts rise, God, we cancel those thoughts in the name of Jesus. God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, God, we speak new thoughts and new life into them. And God, we thank you that they will be free from anxiety and the bonds of anxiety will be loosed and broken. And God, I speak for all of us in this room that we would do the work. And when we walk out the doors this morning, God, that we would do the work of trusting in you because you're trustworthy. That's easy. God, all we have to do is just say that I trust the Lord. It's everything is sifted through the sovereignty of God. So Lord, we just trust you with that. But then, God, we would do the work of keeping our minds on you. God, we would do the work of reading the word. God, we would be like Philippians, that we would not have any anxious thoughts, but with everything in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, God, that we would let our requests be known to you. And God, you are the God who sees and answers. So God, we just trust our anxious thoughts. And God, help us to keep our minds on you. God, if that means letting go of music, letting go of social medias, God, letting go of things that have influenced us or caused us to have more anxiety than we've already had, Lord God, we let go of those things and we say yes to you. God, do a work in us. God, help us to do the work of carrying out this freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. We're believing for you. I will stay here at the front. I know Pastor Tay will be at the front, but we want to just say be free in the name of Jesus and travel light, and that God will be with you. And we can't wait to see you next Sunday. Our students will be back as well. So it's join in with the fun of next Sunday. Remember, no Wednesday night this Wednesday.